I wanted to read all eight verses, and I'm going to speak to you tonight about the God who is trustworthy. The God who is trustworthy. Is God trustworthy? And I hope that each and every one of us have found that He is trustworthy, that He is worthy of our trust. But I believe that that's what David is communicating here in these eight verses, that God, he can trust the Lord. He can rely upon the Lord. So before we read the scriptures, let's ask God to bless the reading of His word and the message tonight. Lord, we thank You, God, for the music that we've already heard this evening. Thank You for the songs that have been sung. Lord, we're so thankful that we have something to sing about and that we can have joy in our hearts because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of the gospel, Lord, we are thankful for Your word. We're thankful for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who come together and we can worship together and have fellowship together. Lord, I pray that You would speak to the hearts tonight. I pray that we would be strengthened and renewed in the faith and helped and just have Your will and Your way in our hearts this evening. Lord, I pray that You'd open up every heart, every ear, everyone would listen and pay attention. And we'll thank You for it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Read all eight verses of Psalms 138. This is a psalm of David. And the next eight psalms are going to be from David. And then David will stop speaking after those eight psalms. These are the last eight that David will write. He says in verse number 1, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Though Thou stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of Thy hands. Do you believe tonight that God is trustworthy? Have you found God to be trustworthy in your life, that you rely upon God and you have found that you can trust Him in everything? Or are you holding back some things from the Lord that you just don't want to rely upon God about? David says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. He's going to give his whole heart to the Lord. He's praising with his entire heart. You know, I've learned a lot of people, and I've been around the block a few times, and I've worked at a lot of places, and I've found that people are not all that trustworthy. Some people are, some people aren't, but you can tell by their track record after a while that you just can't count on these people. You know, they're not going to come to work. They'll be there one day, and then they'll skip a few days, and then after a while, they're just, you know, just not trustworthy. Now, you wouldn't want to leave them alone with, you know, an open cash register or something like that. You just can't trust some people. They're not worthy of trust. You know, one time I decided I was going to sell a car to a guy, and I was going to do it on payments, and he was going to pay me. I wasn't too wise back then, but I sold it to him on payments, and I learned the hard way, don't do that. Don't give somebody a car on payments. You know, they might pay or they might not pay you, but if they don't, you know what that's going to happen? You're going to have a strained relationship between that person. There's going to be hard feelings there because they may not be able to pay you or something might happen. And by the way, I sold the car to the guy, and I got about three payments out of him. He ended up wrecking the car, and it was a total loss. Got about $300 out of the whole deal. Man, some people just aren't trustworthy. You can't trust them. But God is not that way. God, you can trust God. You can trust Him in everything. I mean, if you read His Word,
There's not a time that you find where God just failed, man. He just fell short and he didn't quite cut the mustard. That's the people's problems. The people's problems are always the one falling short. God is not the one who falls short. It's us who fall short. But you know, people, they think they can't trust God. You know, they don't want to trust God. They don't want to rely upon God. Now, they might trust God for a little while, but then they kind of leave the faith and they start trusting in something else. They start trusting in something, some other person that they heard or something they heard, and they just can't trust the Bible. They can't trust the God of the Bible. They think God is just not trustworthy, and they just place judgment upon God instead of other people. They don't believe that God is trustworthy. But David believed that God was trustworthy. He relied completely upon the Lord. And the Word of God tells us several things of which God is worthy. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 4, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. God is worthy of our praise. Amen. And by the way, we can't lift up God high enough. With our songs that we sing, we try to lift up God pretty high, but I don't think that we can just lift Him up high enough. You can't place God on high enough pedestal or His Word a high enough pedestal, as we'll figure out here in just a few minutes. But He is worthy to be praised because of who He is. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. God is worthy of all of those things. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of power. Why? Because He created everything. He made everything. And He's worthy of all of that. And how dare us try to take some of that glory or some of that power away from Him. But He's worthy to be praised. And here is David, and he's speaking here, and he's praising God for all of the things that God has done for him. And he's saying, man, my God is superior to anything that would come up against me. There's three things there that David mentioned that his God was more superior than. Number one, it was the other gods. In verse number two, he says, I'm going to praise God before the other gods, before the false gods. I'm going to praise the real, true God, because my God is superior to any other God that is out there. And that's still true today. Any other God that any other person can mention out there, Jehovah God is the God of gods. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is superior. Same way with the Christian faith and the Christian religion. It is superior to any other faith that there is out there. It's different. It's unique. And David said, my God is much better than that. These other gods are nothing but idols. His God was superior to the secular authorities, as we see in verse number 4. He says, all the kings of the earth are going to praise the Lord. All of those secular kings and heathen kings, they're going to end up praising my God one of these days. Now, all of the kings of the earth and the presidents and the leaders of the countries of the earth today aren't praising Him, but one day they will. One day they're going to bow the knee before God. One day they're going to go and see Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. One day Jesus Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. That's going to happen, and as a matter of fact, that's probably what he's speaking about here. Maybe this is some kind of prophecy or something like that about the upcoming millennial kingdom. So he's saying, my God is more superior than any kings out there. And then number three, his enemies in verse number 7. He says, God is going to stretch forth His hand against mine enemies, all those people that are coming against me, and He's going to smash them. He's going to stretch forth His hand against those people, and my God is superior to all of my enemies. And that's going to happen again in the future too. One of these days, at the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and He is going to smash His enemies. But David was saying that. He said, my God is trustworthy, and He's superior to anything out there. Kings, other gods, all of that. So even in the face of all of these obstacles that David was obviously facing, he says, my God is trustworthy. And he said, he displayed this by his language and the things that he said. Boy, sometimes I wish I could talk like some of those people that were talking in the Bible. Sometimes when we pray, we ought to pray in Bible language. Use God's words to pray back to Him. It's good to pray back the Psalms. As a matter of fact, these Psalms right here are songs that we can sing, and they were meant to be sung, and the children of Israel used to sing them back to the Lord. And that's what David is doing. He's praising God, and he's using this high language. And he says, my God is trustworthy. The occasion of this psalm, some people say, finds itself in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, where the Davidic covenant is happening, and God says, I'm going to establish your kingdom, David. And the people that come from you, the sons that come from you, will your kingdom will be established by me. This is a guarantee, a covenant that I am making with you. And this is like a reaction to his covenant that he made with God. Do you know what? We're all in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. We're all in a covenant relationship with that God Jehovah. The same one that spoke to David, the same one that came and talked to Adam and Eve, the same one that came and talked to Abraham, we are in a covenant relationship with that God. It's the same God. It's not a different God. It's the same one. Amen. Don't you think that we can find him trustworthy? I believe that we can find him trustworthy. God's proven himself to be trustworthy in four ways. Number one, God has proven himself to be trustworthy by his word. That's number one. Number two, by hearing our prayers. Number three, by his care for the lowly. And number four, by his love for his people. God is trustworthy and he has proven it. It's not some pie in the sky kind of dream that we just think that God is trustworthy or we're believing in Santa Claus or something like that. It's a real God. It's real faith. Have you come to know him? Have you come to trust him? The first thing that we can trust is his word. He says in verse number 2, he says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We heard about the name of Jesus Christ this morning, and it's the name that is above every name. That's a high name. There is no other name that is higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't exalt that name high enough, but God says, I have magnified my word above all my name. It is above my name. Now, I had to think about this. How did God magnify his word above his name? To magnify means to supersede, to make large, to overshadow, to increase, or to promote. That's what magnify means. And David says, God did it too. He's the one that did it. He magnified his word above his name. So we can rely upon God, number one, because of his word. He is trustworthy because of his word. Now, how did God magnify his word above his name? He did that by revealing himself to us through his word. That's how he did it. Now, we can learn a little bit about God as we learned this morning through his name, can we not? We learned some things about that this morning. But you want to learn some intimate knowledge about God, you have to read his word, and he'll tell you a little bit about himself. The Word of God comes to us from God. It's not a man-made book. I'm talking about the written Word of God. Men did not sit down one day and decide, you know what, I want to write a Bible. I want to record some scriptures, and this will be my endeavor in life. Men did not do that. God decided, I want to reveal myself to you, and I'm giving you my Word, my book. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word came to us from God. We don't get the word from man, we get it from God. This is God's word. That's where it comes from. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You understand what that's saying? It's saying that someone didn't sit down and say, I'll decide to write a book and call it a Bible. No, we have an inspired word of God that God has given to us. And he has revealed himself to us in his word. If you want to find out about something, find out about what they love. Find out about what they hate. Find out about what they require. Find out about who they love and why they love those people. Now, you can find out a lot of things about revealed about God through creation, can we not? talks about that in Psalms chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the end of the earth. We can know some things about God through creation. He reveals himself to us through creation. But if you want an intimate knowledge, if you want to be converted, you must have the written word of God, because he goes on to say, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's what the written word of God is there for. You want to come to faith and repentance, you must have the written word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If you want to have eternal life, you must have the written word of God. You can't be converted, you can't be saved, you can't be born again apart from the Word of God. And that's why it is so important. The Word of God is so important. And that is how God has magnified His Word above His name. It's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And yet people disregard His Word, and they leave it alone, and they don't read it, and they don't pay attention to it. And yet God has magnified His Word by revealing Himself to you and the way to salvation in His Word. That's how He's magnified it. How could we know the name of God apart from His Word? We couldn't. How could we know that God is a loving God without His Word? How could we know that God is a wise God and get any wisdom from God apart from His Word? We couldn't. We couldn't. And so He magnifies His Word by revealing Himself to us. He magnifies His Word by vindicating His name through His Word. If I came up to you tonight and I said, hi, my name is Jeff, and you didn't know me from Adam, and I said, my name is Jeff, and I said, I'm wise, I'm kind, I'm gentle, and I'm patient. You'd say, okay, well, that's nice facts. How are you going to prove that? How are you going to vindicate what you just said? How are you going to justify what you just said? If God comes up to us or writes it in His Word and says, look, here's my Word, I am loving, I am gracious, I have judgment, I have all power, what are you going to do? Well, great, great. That word doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Yeah, okay. Do you know what God did? He magnified His Word through His character. He magnified His Word by doing what He said He was going to do, and by showing that He's a gracious God, and by showing that He's a loving God, and by showing His judgment, and by showing His wisdom. He has magnified His Word through His character. His character is subservient to His Word. His name is subservient to His Word, because you could not know nothing apart from His Word, and so everything works to magnify the Word of God. Everything does. He says, you have magnified your word above all your name. And David says, man, I can trust that. God is trustworthy because of His word. The word of God reveals the character of God, and it works very hard to show us that His word is true. God has magnified His word by keeping His promises. You go to one book of the Bible and you can find promise after promise after promise after promise that God kept. Just exactly the way that He said He was going to keep it. You talk about magnifying someone's word. He did it. He did it by keeping His promises. Exodus chapter number 6. God told the nation of Israel, He says, I'm going to take you to be my special people, and I'm going to redeem you from the hand of bondage from Egypt. And He did it. He kept His word. He kept His promise. And now we can look at that and say, my goodness, what a wonderful treasure that we have in the Word of God. One promise. One promise. Again, Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 16. God says, I'm going to raise up Pharaoh to show my power in the earth. And so all of the nations of the earth will know who I am. And He did it. He raised up Pharaoh. And now everyone knows who the God of Jacob is, because God kept His word. And God has magnified His word by keeping His promises. God promised Abraham children as the stars of heaven in number. And here we are, and we can see that that is true. And so He's magnified it. God has given us promises. He said, you believe on my Son, Jesus Christ, and you can have eternal life. And we praise God for His word, because God has magnified His word above His name. Man, we love the name of Jesus Christ. We love the name of Jesus Christ, but my goodness, the Word of God, what a treasure that we have. And David says God is trustworthy because of His Word. Number two, God is trustworthy because He hears our prayers. Verse number three says, in the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. David said, man, I was in a bind, I was in trouble, and I cried to You and I prayed to You and You heard me. God's a great God, and God is trustworthy because He hears our prayers. He's not a piece of wood or a piece of stone that you pray to and that He can't hear. God hears our prayers. Man, He's an alive God. Amen. He is alive, and God hears our prayers. What was David praying for? David was praying for strength in times of trouble. David wasn't praying for God to take away all of his circumstances and just give him $1 million and a mansion and all of that. No, he wasn't praying for that. He may have it other places, but here he's asking for strength. He's asking for help, and he got it. He got it. Do you know that our God is a gracious God, and when we get into trouble and we have problems in our life, we can go to God and we can get some help and we can get some strength. Read a story about a man named Harold Dixon. He was a Navy pilot in World War II. He was flying across the Pacific Ocean, and he had to keep his radio off because they didn't want radio interference with Japan because we were at war with Japan. He was flying across the Pacific Ocean, and he got turned around. They didn't know where they were at, and they had to land the plane in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I believe they made a movie about it here a couple of years ago. Haven't seen the movie. So it was three of them. Harold Dixon, two other guys, had to land their plane there, and all of their survival gear had floated down to the bottom of the sea, and the only thing they had there was a raft, 8x10 raft, three guys. They were sailing and floating around in the Pacific Ocean for like 34 days, something like that. No food, no water, going through storms, all of this stuff. Had to deal with sharks, had nothing to drink but rainwater. They thought for sure they were doomed. But all three of them were Christians. All three of them. There was nothing else that they could do. They just had to float. You know what they did? They prayed. They prayed. You know what they found? They found when they prayed, they found some comfort right there when they prayed. Because all three of them had in common the God of the Bible. And they knew. They felt like there was a fourth man on that boat with them. And they could dump all of their problems and all of that stuff on the Lord. And they just got a serenity about them because they prayed to the Lord. There was like a fourth man there with them in the boat. You know, that brings to mind three Hebrew children that were thrown in the burning fiery furnace. And there was Nebuchadnezzar looking into the fire. And he says, I thought we threw three people in there. But there's another one, there's the fourth, and the fourth looks like unto the form of the Son of God. Did you know whenever you get into trouble and you have problems in your life, there's a fourth man that will be there with you? You might have to go through the fire, and you might have to go through some problems, but there's a man there with you, there's a God there with you that cares about you and that gives you strength through those trials. He gives you grace to go through those trials. But many times we forget about that. Prophet Isaiah wrote, and he says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He's not asleep. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get tired. He's there for His creation. He gives strength to those who have no might, to the weak, not to the strong, to the weak. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because we have the Lord. And God hears our prayers. I could give you scripture after scripture about how God sustains people in times of trouble and gives them strength. God is a God who answers prayer. But God not only answers prayer, He commands prayer. He tells us to pray to Him. He wants to hear from us. He said in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ask and it shall be given unto thee. We are commanded to pray. Time after time after time, God tells us to pray. I'm thinking of 1 Timothy chapter number 2, where Paul the Apostle says, hey, pray for those who are in authority. Why? So we can live a quiet and a peaceable life. Man, how much we need that today in our country, in our society, among Christians. Those who will pray for the leaders, those who are in authority. You might want to pray for them to be voted out of office, but pray for them anyway. My goodness, pray for God to give us some spiritual leaders, some good godly leaders that actually believe the Bible and believe God. Pray for those. Pray that we won't be persecuted in the future, because that's what it looks like it's coming down to. Looks like we're going to be censored and stopped. Pray for those who are in authority. God commands prayer. And by the way, some of them could get saved. Hey, God could do a work. We could pray to God. We know that God is trustworthy because He hears our prayers. And number three, we know that God is trustworthy because of His care for the lowly. His care for the lowly in verse number 6. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but to the proud He knows afar off. You know, I couldn't trust a God who was swayed by popular opinion, or was swayed by someone who was proud, or someone's financial situation, or something like that. Do you know that God's not a God who takes bribes? You can't bribe God. You know, people are real foolish about that sometimes. They think that they can really pull the wool over God's eyes and really, you know, kind of finagle with their way in there and kind of sweet-talk God and get what they want. Or maybe they've got just enough power to be able to do that. But God says, I'm not paying any attention to that kind of stuff. What does He say? He says, I am far off from, He knows the proud afar off. He's not paying any attention to those who are proud, puffed up, egotistical people. He says, He has respect unto the lowly. You know who that is, the lowly? That's the humble. That's the humble. You know who God really pays attention to? God really pays attention to those who don't have it all figured out and who are willing to trust God in everything. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1? God has chosen the foolish things of the world. God has chosen the lowly things of the world. That's what He chooses. That's what He pays attention to. If you're not very important here tonight, and neither am I, you're in good company. In good company. If you don't have it all figured out and you just got to trust God in everything, you don't have the talent, you don't have the riches, you don't have the opportunity, guess what? You're in good company here tonight. Jesus Christ said that He was lowly in heart. Lowly. Here's the God-man coming down to earth and He's lowly. You wouldn't think that. Who in the world could dream up a God like that? If man was to make up the gospel, they would have some kind of superhuman man coming down here and just acting all kinds of crazy. You know that? Man didn't come up with the gospel. He cares for the lowly. God's not someone who can be swayed by pride or arrogance or position or power. He has no respecter of persons. He has no regard for pride of power, pride of accomplishment, pride of ability, pride of wealth, pride of talent, or pride of achievement. He does not look at that at all. You know what God does? God gives those the power that they need. God gives those the talents that they need to do the things that He wants them to do. That's what He does. So He doesn't take bribes. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter number 10 that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears Him and works righteousness is accepted with Him. Those who are willing to humble themselves before God and come before Him, that's who God pays attention to. To this man will I look, to him that trembleth at my word. Going to tremble at His word. God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. The final way that we can know that God is trustworthy is His love for His people. And we find that in verse number 7 and 8. He says, though I walk through the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. We don't see the word love in here mentioned in the text, but it is manifested through the actions of God. We know that God is doing all of these things for David because God loves David. all of these things. He's going to stretch forth his hand against his enemies. He's going to revive him. He's going to not forsake him. And he's going to perfect that which concerns him. It's all because of God's love for David. So if we could sum up everything that David was saying in these last two verses, the love of God is seen in the preservation of his people forever for a specific purpose. Why was David able to go forward? Because he had a great God, and that God loved him. That's why David was able to go forward, and that's why God was doing all the things that he was doing for David, was because of his love for David. He says, "Thy right hand shall save me." Anybody know who the right hand of God is tonight? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the right hand of God. The Bible says that he is seated on the right hand of power. You know what that tells me? Jesus Christ has all authority. He has all authority. The Bible's not painting a picture of two gods there as Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of God, but it shows us that God, or Jesus Christ, has all the power and all the authority that God has. Aren't you glad that you have the God of the universe on your side? And if you are in a relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, do you know what you have? You have the love of God. You have the love of God. And you can claim each and every one of these promises that you find in verses number 8 and 9. God will revive me. His right hand will come and scoop me up and help me and strengthen me. So God does these things for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. Paul the Apostle is summing up his sayings here in chapter 8. What a great chapter that it is. But he says, "What shall we then say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Isn't that a God who's trustworthy? You know what Paul the Apostle is trying to do? He's trying to reassure us. He's trying to say, "Yeah, I know life gets rough. I know life is hard, but he gave his only son for you. Isn't he going to give you everything else that you need? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth." You have the God of the universe that justified you. Amen. And so we know that God is trustworthy because of his love for us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. God does not love indiscriminately. He loves through his Son, Jesus Christ. All of his love is found in Jesus Christ. A woman many years ago lived in the United States. She was very poor and ignorant. She didn't know a whole lot of things, but she knew that she was saved, and she was very confident that she was saved. Someone came up to her and says, "You're just poor, ignorant peasant. You don't know anything. If you died today, nobody would know. Nobody would even care whether you died and went to heaven. So what? Wouldn't change the universe." She said, "Yeah, it won't make any difference to the universe, but it'll make a great difference to the Lord, because his honor would be gone." And that's a good answer. You know why? Because God had said that he would save her. And God is a God who is trustworthy. And if he says he's going to save us, he will save us. Our faith and our trust is in him. God is trustworthy because of his love for us. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And he's going to take us all the way to the end. All the way to the resurrection. Doesn't matter whether we pass this life or not. Jesus Christ is on the other side. You're saved here tonight. Boy, it's just only going to get better after you pass this life and get to see Jesus Christ. So are you one here tonight that has found God to be trustworthy? And I'd like to ask you, do you trust him in every situation of your life? Do I trust him in every situation of my life? Or are you holding something back? You're kind of skeptical, saying, "Well, I don't know if I can trust him in this area of my life. I don't know if I can trust him in the finances or in my marriage or whatever it might be." You know, we can't section God off like that and say, "I'm not trusting God in everything. Maybe in this area, but not in that area." You give God your complete and total heart, all of your faith, all of your trust. God has proven himself to be trustworthy. Are we willing to submit to God in everything? I'd encourage you here tonight not to hold anything back from God. Give it all to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.